You're listening to Radio EcoShock with your host, Alex Smith.
You think it's dry in the American West this year? You ain't seen nothing yet, according to a new study published in the journal Advances in Science. The title is Unprecedented 21st Century Drought Risk in the American Southwest and Central Plains. I've reached the lead author, Dr. Benjamin Cook, from the NASA Goddard Institute for Space Studies. Dr. Cook, welcome to Radio EcoShock.
Thanks for having me.
What kind of a drought are we talking about? What would it look like?
What we're really looking like for the future is kind of a progressive drying, kind of a shift in the kind of background, you know, what we might consider normal conditions towards a much drier mean state. And so within this shift towards much drier background conditions, we're still going to get the kind of year-to-year variations that we see right now in the West, periods of wet and periods of dry. But what we're going to see is that these droughts, when they do occur, are going to be that much drier because they're happening in a much drier baseline. And this is going to make it much, much easier for us to get droughts that are 20, 30, perhaps even 40 years long, events that are really unprecedented in terms of what we're used to over the last 200 years.
For our international listeners, the dry American Southwest is well known, but where exactly do you mean by the Central Plains?
By the Central Plains, we're talking about Texas up through Nebraska, Oklahoma, kind of the center of the country that's also a really important agricultural region for the United States.
Does that include the wheat growing area?
Yes, wheat, corn, and also grazing of livestock.
Okay, so there are previous models of mega droughts happening before humans loaded the atmosphere with carbon. Where does human-induced global warming fit into this scheme?
So during the what we call the medieval era, basically the 1100s and 1200s, you know, we know from tree ring records that there were these really extended mega droughts that occurred in the Southwest and in the Central Plains. And those were obviously driven by just natural variations in the circulation of the ocean and the atmosphere. In the future, what we're seeing is kind of a different mechanism operating. You know, what's happening is because we're loading the atmosphere with CO2, we're leading to warmer conditions, and these warm conditions increase evaporation. And what this increased evaporation does is, independent of anything that changes with rainfall or snowfall patterns, the surface is going to get that much drier because the atmosphere just wants that much more moisture. You know, a good way to kind of think about it is in your front yard, a puddle. You know, and if that puddle is there in July when it's really, really warm, then it's not going to last very long and it might be gone by the end of the day versus a puddle of the same size there maybe in fall or winter when things are much, much cooler. And so that puddle has a good chance to last a lot longer.
But we do need to remember that a hotter world is a wetter world. Why does this part of North American continent get even less rain in the future while others might get more?
Well, it's, you know, when we add CO2 to the atmosphere and when we warm up the atmosphere, we basically supercharge the hydrologic cycle. And what that means is that the dry areas and the dry times get drier, and the wet areas and the wet times get wetter. So in this warmer world, we expect areas that are already dry, like the Central Plains, the Southwest, Southern Africa, Australia, are going to get even drier, whereas places that have a lot of moisture, like parts of Canada, parts of Northern Europe, you know, those wetter places are going to get that much wetter.
I have read books about the drying of the West, and we've seen previous papers predicting decadal droughts. What is new about the study that you led?
You know, the real kind of new finding in our study was our attempt to place the future climate change projections, what we think is going to happen towards the end of the 21st century, within the context of the full spectrum of variability over the last 1,000 years. You know, we wanted to ask the question, well, you know, how will future droughts compare to even the worst natural droughts of the last 1,000 years, those mega droughts that occurred during the 1100s and the 1200s? And our conclusion from this is, you know, no matter how you kind of look at the models, no matter how you analyze them, you basically get the same answer, which is that these future droughts are very likely to be longer and more intense than even the driest centuries of the last millennium.
And I also recall reading that the European period of settlement in Australia just happened to coincide with the long period of wetter weather that may have allowed agriculture that may be over. Is that also true of North America?
Well, it's a little bit complicated because at various points during the 19th century, there were explorers out west who variably either described the the Western United States as a great desert or a great garden. You know, and what that really reflects is the kind of substantial variability that we see in this region. We see wet periods and we see very substantial, significant dry periods in Western North America. But what we're going to see in the future is kind of a shift towards more of those dry periods and less of those wet periods.
In California, as you know, we're seeing many acres of formerly productive cropland and even nut orchards now abandoned for lack of water. What do you think a mega drought means for the American and even the world food supply?
You know, that's a really tough question because we have lots of infrastructure and lots of ways to deal with droughts. We can pump groundwater, we can build surface reservoirs to accumulate moisture during the wet periods and then use it during the dry periods, and we have various techniques for conserving water. So there's actually still a lot of water in places like the West and California, even during droughts. The trick is going to be learning how to use it a little bit more smartly, all right? Particularly in the American West, our water allotments and our water usage is based on the assumption that there's a lot more water than is actually available. And so there's no real incentive to conserve, and you know, people just use whatever they can. But I think with a little bit more smart management and a little more careful consideration of how we use water and what we use it for, we can still have a productive agricultural system in many of these places.
I think one of the examples that many people bring up are the American Indians who had to leave the Arizona region because of a big drought hundreds of years ago. Are you predicting something so serious that we may have to abandon some major cities like Las Vegas or Phoenix? Or, as you've just said, do you think we'll be able to adapt to drought the last 20 or 30 years?
I think we can adapt. But again, it's going to require some actual proactive management and policymaking, because we're not going to have the same amount of water in the future to do the things that we're doing now, right? And, you know, we're obviously starting to see many of the impacts of these droughts on tourism and agriculture and municipal areas. So we're starting to get a taste of the kind of water availability that we're going to have in the future. And in some ways, it's actually maybe a good thing, because it kind of highlights the need to start to rethink about how we use this water and try to build a more resilient future, which, you know, again, I think is still in the cards as long as we're kind of paying attention to what nature is doing.
Ben Cook, how certain are you of this prediction? Is it possible we could go through the second decade of this century without experiencing a mega drought?
Oh, certainly. I mean, there's always uncertainties in these projections. So one of the biggest uncertainties is the models that we analyzed, you know, make an assumption that we're going to continue on our current trajectory of greenhouse gas emissions and warming. Certainly, if we choose a different trajectory, perhaps one where we have less greenhouse gas emissions than we expect, you know, the drying to be less severe. You know, there's always uncertainties in our understanding of how these different regions respond to climate change. But I will say that overall, the evidence is firmly pointing towards a shift towards these drier conditions in the American West if we continue greenhouse gas emissions on the current trajectory.
Your paper says, quote, North American drought variability during the historical period is driven primarily by ocean atmosphere teleconnections. That got me wondering, what does that mean? Could you describe that for us?
Sure. So there are lots of natural droughts in the West. You know, some of the most well-understood and known ones are the Dust Bowl in the 1930s or the 1950s drought in the Southern Plains. And these droughts were forced primarily by basically modes of ocean circulation that changed the circulation of the atmosphere over North America and kind of shifted storms away and started these drought conditions rolling during those time periods. And so one of the biggest drivers of drought in the West is the El Niño Southern Oscillation, particularly the cold phase of that pattern where we get a La Niña event that shifts storm tracks further north, and that lead to dry conditions in Southern California, the Southwest, and the Southern Plains. This coming year, we're probably going to see a very strong El Niño event, a warm phase of that phenomenon. And that actually has the opposite effect, and we'll be hopefully steering more storms into the Southwest, the Central Plains, and Mexico, and hopefully providing some drought relief in those areas.
Ben, you're talking about something that nobody alive has ever seen, and I'm sort of afraid this study will stimulate a few news stories and then be added to that list of unstoppable climate horrors we can't do anything about. How do you see the future of this work now?
I guess I'm hoping that people see it as motivation for some proactive management and development. You know, we're pretty smart as a species, and, you know, I think there's lots of opportunities in our water systems to improve efficiency, to find better uses for water, to maybe exploit resources that haven't really been exploited yet. And that's all stuff that's going to have to happen. You know, the future is not written in stone, and or these projections are not do not mean a kind of apocalypse and a wholesale abandonment of the West. But what it does mean is that there's very likely going to be less water for people and ecosystems in these regions. And we can either kind of be proactive about it and try to figure out ways to deal with it or even avoid the problem, or we can wait till it actually happens and then try to clean up things after after disaster strikes. I hope we don't choose the latter.
From the NASA Goddard Institute for Space Studies and also the Lamont Doherty Earth Observatory of Columbia University, we've been talking with scientist Benjamin I. Cook. He's the lead author of a new study, ominously, I think, titled Unprecedented 21st Century Drought Risk in the American Southwest and Central Plains. Benjamin, thank you so much for sharing your time with Radio EcoShock. I'm Alex Smith. Find links for this discussion, including the full text of this paper, in my weekly show blog published every Wednesday at ecoshock.info.
Check out the Radio EcoShock website. We're at ecoshock.org.